face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pandemon hands it to Michelle, runs it left, slips a hit, accelerates past the 45, cuts it right back to midfield. He's gone to the 40, Sony to the 30, Michelle to the 20, hit, and he spins inside the 15. He's eventually brought down by McMillan at the Raider 13-yard line. Rex runs it left to the 10. Burkhead to the 5. Burkhead driving inside the 3. And he is eventually tackled at the 2. Brought down by Harris and Lawson. First and goal to go.
I just laugh to people that just say he's not valuable. Because when this guy's healthy, he may be your most valuable running back.
The Patriots quick snap it with a carry up the middle. In for a touchdown. New England adding to its lead. Rex Burkhead with a hat trick.
Hey, what I say? How you doing? Hey, what you say? I'm doing well. Having fun. Bob Soucy, he's the voice of the New England Patriots on the 98.5 Sports of Patriots Radio Network. And Bob's hot takes are powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps my voice be conditioned, it's a hot cup of Bigelow tea before every game. Hot takes, hot tea, Bigelow tea proudly. Bob joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline today. Hi, Bob. Hello, Bob. How you doing, Bob?
Fred. You sound like you have some Bigelow tea and honey today.
Oh, more like crank. So, Bobby Boy, Big Vic by the kids yesterday, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Running away with it.
There you go.
And that's Bob Soucy.
Thanks for stopping by, Bob. But I will say this, is that based on the injuries on the offensive line and the way that they performed yesterday, because let's face it, those Sony Michel runs you and I could have had picked up first downs on. But nonetheless, I mean, you have to be very impressed with the way the offensive line played yesterday.
Yeah, especially when you lose David Andrews, because I think we all got a glimpse of what life was like without him last year. And although Ted Karras, you know, did a serviceable job last year, David Andrews was the captain of that offensive line and I think a key to it. And for Joe Tooney to go into that position and play center, he's done it in practice and he did it a little bit during his college career, but for him to take over that role and really almost perform flawlessly, there were no problems. Center quarterback exchange, the offensive line, played penalty free. Michael Luenu is a massive human being, and I thought he moved exceptionally well yesterday at times. And, you know, you rush for 250 yards, and you have three backs that are really productive running it, not just Michelle, who had the two long runs, but Burkett. And I thought J.J. Taylor gave the Patriots a spark. I thought he was the guy who really ignited the running game with the way he ran. Just, you know, the guy didn't hesitate at all. And he got him going, and the other guys picked up. But it's on the offensive line more than anything else. They're blocking yesterday. And, you know, especially because the Raiders early on were not fooled by all the misdirection and a lot of the deceptive type of plays the Patriots had been running the first couple of weeks with Cam at quarterback. So the Patriots went to a more conventional running game, and it was very productive because of that offensive line.
You know, people say Michael Lewin knew, and I go, what's wrong with the old one? I'll do that for Nick. All right, go ahead, Rich. Go ahead. That was for Nick.
We were talking to Ted Johnson earlier, and the one thing that I love about this offense is that it has become consistent and unpredictable, which I guess is something that can make you – I mean, that's probably what you want as an offensive coordinator. Week one, it was the quarterback that beat him. Week two, it was the passing game that beat him. And week three, it's the running game that beat him. Like, how much credit are you giving Josh McDaniels for this? Or is this more just here is what an offense looks like run by Cam Newton?
I think you have to give Josh a lot of credit. And I think Cam certainly deserves a lot of it. And just the things we've talked about over the last couple of weeks with the threat of Cam as a runner being a part of it, as defenses have to prepare for more, it certainly forces them it creates a situation where they, you know, if you do one thing that's predictable week after week, well, defenses are going to figure out a way to stop it in the NFL. But if they have a lot to prepare for, which the Patriots always have tried to give teams as a game plan specific offense, well, then obviously, you know, their attention is diverted. I mean, or at least they, you know, they're not in a situation like where you play some teams and it's very predictable what they're going to do, and you can really focus on stopping one or two aspects. But the Patriots, there's a way to counterpunch, if you will. And I think that is really important. Yesterday, I think what we saw, too, is some limitations early on that, you know, we have seen the last year plus with the Patriots when they did try to pass the ball. There weren't a lot of open receivers when Newton looked to throw early in yesterday's game. And, you know, I think that's a problem that the Patriots didn't necessarily face with Seattle. They were down a couple of defensive backs in that game after Diggs got ejected and then Blair got hurt. So that might have been a factor for them. And, you know, their passing defense is a work in progress. But I thought early on yesterday the Patriots had trouble throwing it in part because there weren't a lot of open receivers. And that's something that, you know, as an offensive coordinator, you've got to try to find a way to scheme guys open. And that's really, a challenge Josh has had the last couple of years. And then when it comes to the running game, you know, one of the things I wondered about with Dante Scarnecchia retiring as the longtime offensive line coach is he played such a pivotal role in their run game strategy and coming up with a game plan from a running standpoint week after week. And I guess you have to give some credit, too, to Cole Popovich and Carmen Brasillo, who've taken over in that role, the two offensive line coaches, for the job they did.
All right, let's get back to what upset you so last week, uh-oh, and that is the play of Stephon Gilmore.
I don't think I ever said Stephon Gilmore played well in week one. Mm. I just said Metcalf is a beast, and I thought that particular play was just a great play.
No, that particular play, that was a great play, and no one denied that. But Stephon Gilmore is a corner who's being paid to take away half the field, and he has not done so. And yesterday was another example. To my layman's eyes, as I sit here.
Teams are not scared to go after.
Just a jabroni watching the games. I'm no Bob Soucy. But but they are throwing at him, and they are having some success.
No doubt. I think if you were to listen yesterday, me being the jabroni that I am, and certainly a layman, by no means are these eyes professionally trained to evaluate cornerback play in the National Football League. I said essentially the same thing. This has not been the kind of start you would expect of the reigning defensive player of the year, and in fact made reference to the contract. Although when you're calling a game, I mean, it's really hard to dive into the economics of it. I know that's something that we do during the week. Whether you got a pay bump or not, it's not what you expect from Stephon Gilmore. The penalty on Aguilar, he was clearly beaten on that play. And it might have been an overthrow nonetheless, but he had to give up the penalty because he was beaten on that play. And you don't expect that from him. And there was another play a little bit later on. I think they're going to have a play here or there where he missed a tackle. And generally, you know, he's so good, or has been so good, from that standpoint, too. So, no, I'm by no means did I even think, let alone say, that Stephon was good against Miami. He had the interception, but he, as we know, was guilty of those two penalties. And the Patriots got a break in that game. Parker got hurt. He didn't play really the second half of that game. It might have been a little bit different like it was in Week 17 last year had he been on the field for the whole game. And you know, last week, certainly at Seattle, he had his work cut out for him against Metcalf. And I just thought that one particular touchdown pass was just a sensational play. It was well covered. I thought, well, he recovered. Metcalf was open initially, and then I thought Stephon recovered to be there. And I gave credit to the quarterback and the wide receiver. Yesterday, yeah, a tough day overall.
The front seven of the Patriots managed to get it done after some bumps and bruises at the end of the first half. But in the second half, they were dominant. And considering that Dante Hightower is not there and you had a bunch of people leave via free agency and the rookies were not playing at all, how do you explain the success they had in the second half?
Well, I think you have to give a lot of credit to the high motor guys like Winovich. I think Winovich is playing very well these first 3 weeks of the season. And Wise is somebody who's really tried to become more of a complete player. He put on weight in the offseason. And I thought a couple of times yesterday he impacted. Playing Shalique Calhoun, you know, was a guy that had an impact. And they're moving some of those guys around, too. They're playing him inside. There are times we're looking at Winovich and he's over the center or he's over a guard. And that's not what you would expect of him. They're also playing, again, and I'm not trying to slight their effort and their performance in any way. They were playing against an offensive line that was down a starting guard and a very good one in Richie Incognito and down two tackles. They had a couple of rookies playing on the offensive line. One of them, Simpson, got called for a couple of penalties early on. So I think you have to keep that in perspective, particularly with the Patriots now facing a visit to Kansas City next week and try to contend with that offense.
All right. Well, Bob Soucy, good stuff.
By the way, does Scott Zolak seem more depressed without any fans there?
Well, he's on Twitter in the second. I mean, when the Patriots recovered that fumble in the end zone, Scott was not paying attention to the game, let's be honest.
We need a bunch of Wallach kids facing him or something in the crowd, like the first couple rows in front of you, just so he can have his attention diverted.
That diverts my attention. I don't want a Wallach head in front of me. No offense.
You'll see his bigger twin.
I'll set up for our weekly conversations on Mondays.
Wow. Bob coming in hot.
No nervous Nelly here.
There you go. All right. Well, listen, Bob Soucy, I didn't have to hang up on you. You seem to control your house.
So far, so good.
All right. Would you like to thank the engineers again?
Dennis Newton always, it goes without saying. Yeah, I was planning to hang up on you, Fred. I was going to tell you something.
All right. Very good.
That's pretty funny.
It continues.
The best part was you set him up perfectly, and he took the bait, and you just moved over. You literally need to see it. The quick flick of the wrist. Bump. He was gone.
I'm the greatest. By the way, I'm looking at these NBA mock drafts, and I can't tell you after.
Where's Cole Anthony in that mock draft that you see?
Well, they all jam in a million pitchers.
Right.
Which is completely unnecessary. Cole Anthony is...
You should be there around 13 or 14, right?
All right, I'll tell you where. Cole Anthony from North Carolina.
Yes.
The lineage of his father. Cole Anthony is number 14 to the Celtics.
Yeah. I think they should take him there.
Via the Grizzlies.
Yep.
He has dreadlocks.
Yes, he does.
And then, by the way, Xavier Tillman going number 30 to the Celtics in this mock draft.
Who is Xavier Tillman? He's a power forward
from Michigan State, which shows you everything you need to know about college basketball, because Xavier Tillman never lived. He's big. He's a big, strong guy, a Michigan State forward.
Okay.
He looks like Ted Johnson, basically.
Okay.
I mean, he's a strong individual.
Okay.
He was good, but never really panned out. Meanwhile, Cassius Winston would have been probably the player of the year in the NCAA, but he's nowhere to be found in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And by the way, I think Tillman opted out after his junior year. So
okay.
Very good. We'll continue around the NFL. We've talked a lot about the Celtics. We'll continue to this week, but there are other games. And if we spend time watching them, we're damn well sure going to talk about them.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
We'll be right back.
This is the home of the game.
Patriots!
And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Around the NFL.
Oh, right,
in 15 minutes.
You play to win the game.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Follow Ken Griffey Jr. if you want to. Find at Ken Griffey Jr. if you want to know what John thinks on Twitter. If you want to follow the show and know the musings of Rich Shirtley, follow the Toucher and Rich accounts at Toucher and Rich on Twitter or Instagram. Or follow me. The last time I did this, I only picked up one follower.
Oh.
At Fred Toucher on Instagram. I'm an influencer.
Can I just mention something real quick before we get to the NFL? I got a text from Sean Grandy after our interview.
Ooh.
And this is, I'm not usually someone who, we don't text back and forth that often, so it was kind of like, oh, I wonder why he's texting me. This is something that I do want to mention. He texted me, he said, hey, before last night, the Celtics had only two 10-point losses in the last 49 games.
I know where this is going.
And it just so happens that those were the two games that Wallach did this year.
In New Orleans and in Houston. That's right.
That's a good point. That's true.
And the fact that that came from Grandy makes it a million times better.
Yeah. Well, it's not like Grandy is worried about his job.
Well, that's obvious.
No, he's just sick of John buddying up to Cedric Maxwell, and, you know.
No. Sean wants off that radio.
I think he sees moves being made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants off the radio, please. By the way, Patriots yesterday, very boring game. There's no question about how boring
it was. A great win. It wasn't super exciting,
very boring.
But that's a good team that they beat.
It was a methodical thumping of a team that couldn't handle them.
Yes.
You look at the offensive possessions after the first quarter. They scored on just about every one, and the ones they didn't score on were Cam Newton kneel downs.
And then Vegas managed to crap themselves whenever they had any chance of making something happen. So, yes, a boring game, but the NFL played on, Rich.
It did, and yesterday, Fred, Sammy D with Sammy INT.
Takes a shotgun snap on third and six, throws left side, it's picked off by the Colts on the far sideline. 30, 25, 15, Xavier Rhodes, 10, 5, touchdown, touchdown, Xavier Rhodes, a pick six, touchdown, INDY for the defense.
Darnold sets up, throws right side, it's picked off, 30 day for the Colts. The Colts are running the other way with it at the 20, CJ Carey, and Carey turns it all the way in to a pick six. Two of them on the day for the Colts. Touchdown, INDY. Defense, have a day.
And they went nuts with the fake crowd applause.
Yeah, they had a crowd. You had about 5-10,000 Hicks up there in Indianapolis having the time of their lives. And yes, Sam Darnold. I don't know if I didn't hear if you played the one he threw in the red zone. If he threw a nice pick right there in the end zone too, so he had two pick six. He threw two pick six and a nice
third one
right there into the end zone. And there you go. They have a short week, so they won't fire Gase today.
Why not just fire it? Like, a short week's not going to matter. Just fire them.
I know you don't take much creed in what Mortensen says, but Mortensen says that the management of the Jets is not happy with Adam Gase. They've gone so far as to say they are not happy with Adam Gase. And it looks, they have to fire him because, if nothing else, they have to get Darnold's Darnold's not their quarterback. They've ruined him.
Before they ruin him for good.
Yeah, so you got to get something for him, because then you're going to, hopefully you get Trevor Lawrence and ruin him. But before, or you get the kid from Ohio State, I'll take anyone. They've completely ruined Sam Darnold. I don't know if he was good to begin with. I don't know what the hell's going on, but
Fields,
he's done.
Fields is the guy at Ohio State.
Yeah, so you're better off just firing Gase. Let Darnold, I mean, you really owe it to him. Just get him out of there. Let him go somewhere that someone has some idea of what's going on himself.
He was asked, hey, are you going to last the whole season here in New York there?
I'm going to do what I always do, come back to work tomorrow and try to get things fixed. I mean, that's something I can't worry about. I got to focus on getting our guys right.
You're so focused, you bug-eyed prick. You've done nothing. And go around and brag about how much money you have again. He doesn't care. He just has no... He's so weird, and that's everything that you read about him, is that that he's just a very bizarre individual, and apparently being humiliated at his life's work is not something that really bothers him. And he never takes any blame. He says the way that he has everything mapped out is the way it should have gone, and they mess it up, so that means Sam Darnold's the worst quarterback in the NFL by far.
He might be the worst head coach in Jet history. He's in the running. And this is the team that had Rich Kotite.
But Kotite was a defensive coordinator of some acclaim.
Yes.
So, yes, Gase. Lou Holtz is up. But Lou Holtz...
Lou Holtz won some games. He did.
No. Lou Holtz didn't make a season. Lou Holtz got fired in the middle of a season.
Oh, I thought he won at least. No. He lasted at least one.
I mean, that's before my time, but that's your time. There's no.
I'd forgotten about that.
I'm not positive I was alive when Lou Holtz was coach, but I might have been.
It was an ass-kicking 36-7 Colts roll, which means Jim Irsay was probably filming more movies from the weight room last night.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
And I have not checked his social media, but I'm sure he's standing there shirtless.
And the Jets lost their one good player in that game, and hopefully he doesn't play again for the rest of the season so they can just rest him so he can protect someone who can play.
Okay, the head-scratcher moment of the weekend. 17 seconds left in overtime. Bengals-Eagles tied. Eagles are about to attempt a 59-yard field goal to win it, and then...
Here it is. And now penalty flags fly. Oh, don't tell me the Eagles are going to...
I think there was movement by the Eagles.
Ball start.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, on a field goal to win it? A 5-yard penalty? 19 seconds to go. And now you're asking Jake. No.
Okay. You can tell, by the way, that Philadelphia's good people, because they got like a nice good old guy doing the game.
He's the one who sounds like Kermit when he gets excited.
He's got like an old guy.
Well, they jump off sides, so then it's moved back to a 64-yard attempt. Now remember, there's 17 seconds left in the game. So instead of trying to kick the 64-yarder, they punt. This is overtime, and it's tied, which means the game will end no matter what, unless they kick this field goal, in 17 seconds. Why wouldn't you try to win it? You're conceding to a tie? The worst thing that could happen is that you miss it. Right, but you're still midfield.
Yes, but then there could be
one, maybe two plays.
No, then there could be a Hail Mary. I actually see the sense of yes.
Oh,
it wasn't as crazy.
I do. I see the sense in this.
You would accept the tie instead of going for the win at that point?
By the way,
that's a good kicker they got there, too.
Not 64 yards good, or whatever it would have been.
Well, here's Doug Peterson being asked about it.
The decision there, one of two things. You can either attempt it on fourth down and try to go for it. We tried to go for the field goal, the game winner. That was the thing. We were going to go for the game winner with the kick. Felt comfortable with Jake, had the wind. The false start back to sub, so we just said, hey, let's just punt the football here. We didn't want to give them the ball, towards midfield or even a chance to go for it on fourth down and long. Just made that decision. Hopefully something, positive might have come out of the punt.
I do not think that was a good decision. By the way, Eagles should have kept Nick Foles. I think we're seeing that firsthand.
Well, Carson Wentz is not good.
No.
But he's very chipper in his post games.
Mm-hmm. He takes his beatings like a man. Yep, he does.
He was very chipper in his post game. Very
right.
chipper.
Well, it's week three, and Russell Wilson has already won the MVP.
Russell looks, sets, has time. Going to throw to the end zone. Locked. It's DK. He makes the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks. And it's DK Metcalf, and he, in fact, makes up for the play earlier.
Fred, who threw that pass?
Mr. Unlimited.
The biggest nerd in the NFL.
Yes, nerd.
It's Mr. Unlimited. Tell me.
He was a virgin for a very long time. Frustrating famous girlfriends. They just wanted his sexin, and he said, no, no, no. I'm a verge to the end.
He is just absurd. Lights up the Cowboys. 5 touchdowns. 38-31 the final score. He's had 14 TDs in the first 3 weeks. It's him and Josh Allen, and the rest are all pretenders.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
That's right. Both mobile guys. Mm-hmm. Both, they're one and the same. Russell Wilson, both big nerds. I just like that Josh Allen didn't get a D1 scholarship offer at his size and his arm strength.
Well, I mean, he did. He played for a D1 school.
Or I'm sorry, a Power 5 conference.
No, that's true. Wyoming is not one of those.
I apologize. A Power 5
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah. It's Unlimited.
It's Mr. Unlimited.
I mean, he has fun. I mean, don't you guys dare take that away from him, because he still goes out there and performs. Despite all of the distractions and all his monikers that he comes up for himself, he still goes out there and performs.
Well, the Stephen Gostkowski Redemption Tour continues.
Snap, set, kick. God! Holy Toledo. 55 yards for the lead. Wow! Oh, I love the National Football League. 6-for-6. And the Titans have the advantage, 31-30.
Why do I just imagine those guys in like 10-gallon hats with just barbecue sauce all over their fingers? Damn Dukes. Well, I mean,
wait. If you want to play the clip, because I think that you have the wrong clip. I think Odell Beckham Jr. just walked into the women's bathroom. What did he say?
Snap, set, kick. God! Holy Toledo.
He yelled scat.
Scat! Holy Toledo.
He's enjoying it.
It's just... Oh, man. Well, since that week one disaster where he missed 3 field goals and an extra point, he took off his sock. And he's been nothing but nails since.
Good.
Game
Good.
Winners in all 3 games.
Good.
That's right.
Game
1, game 2, and last night game 3. Good. And the Titans are now 3-0 thanks to Stephen Gostkowski.
MVP.
And his redemption tour.
Two MVPs in a row.
Mm-hmm. And Fred, I'll play this clip here just to make you feel better.
Prater's ready. Muehlbach to snap. There it is. Fox the spot. Kick away. It is
yes,
up.
Sir.
And it is good. And the Lions have won it.
Yes, sir.
The Lions have gone to the desert and picked up victory number 1.
Kyler Murray, PU. Not good. Kyler
not
Murray.
Not well yesterday.
3 interceptions, yes. I believe. Yeah.
And 3
Super
interceptions.
Super Bowl defense by the Lions
that,
there.
That defense shouldn't be bad. It shouldn't be bad.
Yes.
I'll tell you this, is that the Arizona, that was a horrible game, too. Arizona had every opportunity to win that game, and Kyler Murray crapped it away. Played very poorly. And John, in the notes, which I appreciate him sending, made it reference to the Cleveland game in that Baker Mayfield didn't play bad in their victory, in that Baker Mayfield had to do nothing in that game.
Did he
well,
do
Nick
bad?
Chubbs is
no.
just awesome.
No, they have 2 running backs.
No,
that are good.
Threw for under 200 yards, but he threw 2 touchdown passes, and they're 2-1.
Yes, he handed the ball off like no one's business.
You want to hear something really sad? This gives the Browns a record above 500 for the first time since week 15 of the 2014 season.
Yep. Well, nice. Line them up. They're going to win that. At least there's no one ahead of them in that division.
You know who Baker Mayfield isn't?
Mr. Unlimited.
Nope. No, he's very limited. He's better than Sam Darnold.
Unlimited. Tell him.
He is.
At least Sam Darnold. Well, I think he might have a couple better weapons. Then again, he doesn't have Chris Hogan as his number one receiver, which is when you go onto a field, it's almost like Gase is just willing it to happen. What did you want me to do? I mean, everyone trot out. You had him for a while, but Baxton Berrios, you let him slip through your fingers, people in New England.
Mm-hmm.
You had Baxton Berrios, but you let him go. And now he's just ripping it up for the Jets. All 5'2", white guy power. that he's got going over there. All right, Rich, we got this Stackaroo coming up. What are we going to talk about?
We do have to mention some weirdness that's going on with the Red Sox right now. It's funny. Their season's over, and we haven't mentioned them once.
No.
But there
that's
is too one
bad.
Thing.
They're, one of, they're
one
the one team that
mentioning.
Didn't make the playoffs.
It's true. So we got that. Also, a pretty scary moment involving Joe Montana and a cast member of the Fast and the Furious just released an album.
Ooh. You got to lead with that. Yes. Did you know that the Rays had the best record in the American League?
I was shocked to find that out, yes.
I found that out yesterday when they released the standings.
Wait, they're the number one seed?
Yes, they were the number. I was like, aren't the Yankees supposed to be good? But, yes, there you go. You have the Angels. You have the Cardinals taking on the San Diego. I don't quite know how that happened, considering the Cardinals weren't supposed to make the playoffs until recently. So, what do you know? Baseball's happening. Would have been a good drinking day.
Snap, set, kick.
What's in this bathroom?
God!
Oh.
Holy Toledo.
That's right. Never been a more happy OBJ. All right, here are the headlines.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Drive home with Felger and Maz this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Dutcher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.85 The Sports Hub. We're touching Rich. John, who is sponsoring us?
The Stack is brought to us by Window Nation. It's their buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out online at windownation.com.
Well, this Red Sox season was a waste of time to everyone involved, including Ron Renicki, who was relieved of his duty as manager before yesterday's game.
Before. And then he made him go out and manage the last one. You're fired, but we need you for another 3 hours.
It's as if he didn't know that this was all a joke from the beginning.
Oh,
I mean, he guy knew. It's not like he thought he was going to like take this team to the World Series and all of a sudden, you know, get a 5-year contract. But after the game, Chaim Bloom was asked about the possibility of Alex Cora returning.
Well, I don't want him to get into really any detail on my thoughts on Alex. I don't want to say anything about Alex that I haven't said to Alex, and obviously I haven't spoken to Alex. So there will be a time, I think, where I can, you know, get into more detail on Alex and his situation, my thoughts on it. But that time isn't now, so I'm hoping everybody will respect that.
How great would it be if, like, they came to him and he said no because you guys suck and some team offers him $1 zillion to be manager? I mean, that you don't think that he's someone that other teams are going to be looking out for? Like, I mean, if the Red Sox are willing to sign him back, which I guarantee you they are, there's going to be other teams that are going to be fighting for that as well, right?
I don't know. He's got that cheating stink on him. I think, come on. No, I think that matters. I think that matters. In this day and age, that matters, PR-wise. Red Sox don't care.
because they've wanted him back. He's a great all the players on that team loved him. I think he's worth more to the Red Sox than he is to other people.
I don't think he's a one team manager. I think there's going to be other teams that are going to want him as well. But one story that just was weird that went under the radar on Friday afternoon, Jason Mastrodonato was writing about it, who we have on the show from the Herald, and it's about what's going on with Eduardo Rodriguez. Now I know we haven't heard from him for a while, but I didn't realize this was going on with him. The report said that Eduardo, quote, basically hasn't done much of anything for 2 months due to the heart complications that he had from the coronavirus. This is Ron Renke who's speaking on it. He said that he's barely been able to do any physical activity and has been limited to his house during that time. As a matter of fact, he said he just now was cleared to be walking again. He wasn't walking? He said, quote, but not the stress walks, not the elevated treadmill walks. And hopefully in a couple of weeks they'll progress to that. It's still a slower process to build himself back up, and they're hoping that his offseason will be normal and he'll be able to build himself back up for next year. Dude, that's terrifying. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that that's what was going on with him, where he couldn't even walk.
Oh, the future looks bright, though. Future looks bright. Chris Sale, you know, coming off the Tommy John. You got this guy. Yeah, future looks fantastic.
You don't have to worry about the Red Sox for a while. JVD Martinez is going to opt in.
Yep, J.D. Martinez.
Why wouldn't you if you're him?
I know. Well, Coming off a horrible season, he's not going to make nearly as much money anywhere else. So he'll be back for one more year.
Yep.
Until he get his dollars back up.
Yeah, you're going to have maybe get Lester back for another run at it.
Oh, I guarantee you the Sox will make a run at him. If he decides to tell the ownership, F off, I'm staying in Chicago, that's one thing. But if he hits the open market, the Red Sox, he's going to be 36 or 37. They'll bring him back here for a victory tour to take your mind off the fact that their pitching staff is bad. Well, sure they will.
He'd be your best pitcher in the rotation right now.
Jesus.
I mean, am I wrong?
No.
No.
No, you're not wrong. No. So he's going to start opening day. Yep.
That's right. He's your starter, so there you go. Well, Conor McGregor is bragging that he's in serious talks to fight Manny Pacquiao in a fight that it's on you if you buy that one.
God.
Like, that is, I mean, I bought that Mayweather one just for the spectacle to see what would happen. Manny Pacquiao versus Conor McGregor, if you spend money on that, you are just an idiot. When is this supposed to be? When are they saying? They've been talking because Manny Pacquiao has always been up for new challenges, according to Manny Pacquiao's representative.
Of course he is.
Conor McGregor, or more money. Conor McGregor showed in his fight with Floyd Mayweather is the skills to fight with the best boxers in the world, blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't doubt for a second that it'll do very well, because just anything involving Manny Pacquiao internationally is huge. Like, I mean, he's a massive draw. So McGregor's really smart to try to get involved in the Pacquiao gravy train. But my God, I mean, that's just something that the quality is top shelf on that guy.
McGregor should go like full Evil Knievel and just fight like the whoever the best heavyweight is.
Yeah, or fight that guy Butterbean. Remember that guy?
No. But get the mountain from Game of Thrones, and you saw those two like sparring together. See, that I would love to see. Like, the Mountain obviously isn't somebody who is a trained, skilled fighter. He's just a big, strong dude. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he has some huge background. But from what I know, he's just a really strong guy. But the size differential between those two would make that fight amazing to watch.
Well, that's the thing, is that he should just start fighting guys that could kill him. And that's the draw, is that, you know, like Evil Knievel. Like, if Evil Knievel wipes off his motorcycle, he's going to get real hurt.
Sure.
So Conor McGregor should just fight guys that are like 15 times the size of him.
Do the Mountain, man.
You'd watch that, right? I wouldn't pay for it, but I mean, I would be interested to see if he got hit in the face real hard. Like that. I mean, that's essentially it. It would just to see if like he would die. That's basically it. I mean, if you watch a stuntman, what are you watching a stuntman for? Not the majesty of them clearing, you know, 25 trucks. It's to see if they wipe out and die. So if you had Conor McGregor fight like a dude who's, you know, you could do a Rocky thing where he punches some machine and it shows the force that he generates with his, like, right hook. And then you could have Conor McGregor fight him and, you know, put his dukes up. And then, because I wouldn't even want to have my hands up and get hit by the Mountain.
Right. What about Conor versus, like, a sumo wrestler?
Nah, because the sumo wrestler would just... Like, sumo wrestling, from my understanding, is they just slap each other's bellies around a little
bit. Yeah, they just run into each other and try and push each other out of the ring, right?
But just the pure size. I see, to me, boy, the more I think about this thing with the Mountain, it would be that would be the fight I want to see, just because of the discrepancy between the two guys. And the Mountain's a strong dude. Like, what if he gets you? Could he, like, grab your throat and, you know, make you tap out? Or, you know, what could you do there just from pure strength?
Yeah.
But, well,
I don't know.
It'll never happen.
You saw Royce Gracie all those times, you know, get on his, do a handstand and get an armbar on a guy.
The guy was a great fighter, most boring fights ever. He would just grapple and choke you out, and it sucked. His fights were not entertaining.
I don't know. You could hear Joe Rogan babble about it for 3 hours.
Because he was a genius, but he's making
$100 million a
year. I'm in on the McGregor Mountain like Bloodsport fight. I like that idea.
When did this Joe Rogan podcast become interesting to anyone? All of a sudden in the United States, everyone has the largest attention span of all time. You know, kids can't be bothered watching a 22-minute show. They're watching TikTok. But meanwhile, a 3-hour podcast, you know, discussing the finer points of string theory is going on $100 million on Spotify.
All right, let's get to what really matters. There is a certain superstar celebrity who likes to drive fast cars who has just come out with a brand new album, or at least this is the preview. It's of his entire album. It's a song. He's just releasing a single first. Vin Diesel, who obviously loves singing, he sang about Paul Walker at the MTV Awards, See You Again, and he debuted a brand new single on the Kelly Clarkson Show.
Better be about wizards. Better be about wizards.
He loves Dungeons and Dragons. Yes, he does. This is a little song called Feel Like I Do. Take it away, Mr. Vin Diesel. No effects at all on his voice.
No, he sounds like he's got the intestinal problems because he's saying, everything you do makes my stomach turn. Ooh, lady, you give me the Rhea. Oh, baby, every time I see you, I gotta run to the bathroom and take a dump.
His next single just needs to be called,
You Can Have Any Brew You Want, as long as it's a Corona.
Well, that limits my choices entirely to one brand. That's no choice at all.
Store, then. Yeah, I got to go to the store. I ain't got any here.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're handing me a Corona come hell or high water. That's no offer. I thought we were going to hang out, and now here you are offering me any beer. You got my hopes up, and now you're saying it's Corona. Well, what if I would like something else?
Well,
like your sister, something like that.
Ooh, sure, baby, you make my stomach turn. Good for him. Good for him making that.
Well, the title to Sacha Baron Cohen's upcoming Borat sequel has been unveiled. I know
called
you
everyone's in on it.
They all know it's me now.
Yes. The first movie was too good for its own good.
Well, I know you're a big fan of the first one.
Borat is one of probably the second best comedy, in my opinion, of all time.
Only behind Anchorman, correct, in your opinion? All right. Well, the sequel, which will be coming out, is called Borat, Gift of Pornographic Monkey to Vice Premier Mikhail Pence to Make Benefit Recently Diminished Nation of Kazakhstan. That is the full name of the movie.
Okay. Well, it sounds like he somehow tricked Mike Pence. So I wonder what magic shop... A trick that he somehow procured to fool the great mind of the first pick for the vice presidency. That was Donald Trump's.
So
Donald Trump's, that he was like, I'm not running unless you get me Pence. I want the AM radio host from Indiana. Give me him.
So rumors of this sequel first emerged earlier this year when, of course, as you were mentioning, Cohen was seen filming a couple scenes in the character's costume. At this point, the film's plot remains closely guarded, but apparently it sounds like he's heavily targeting the GOP here from the clips that we've seen out there. And so there you go. It's going to be coming out soon. Who the hell knows when that's going to be. New Borat film. By the way, have you heard about, you guys know the internet meme guy, Salt Bae? the dude who sprinkles the salt on the meat, you know, Salt Bay.
No, I don't know that.
Never heard of this guy.
If you saw him, you would know it. He's become like a meme, and he's the guy who wears those glasses, and, you know, he was this chef, and he got famous for putting his hands over his head and, like, sprinkling salt on this meat. Well, he just opened this restaurant in Back Bay, kind of near the south end, near the castle over there, and it was open for maybe a weekend, and then they shut it down because all of these, like, Instagram people, like, people are freaking out because they want to meet Salt Bay, and I guess they ended up following, like, very few, like, almost, like, breaking a ton of the COVID restrictions. Like, I guess everyone was jammed in together, and he was just packing people in there, and then this video went viral of a girl twerking for Salt Bay inside the restaurant, and her boyfriend comes smashing on the door and runs in and starts crying. So, I mean, it's all gone to hell in a handbasket.
If your girl wants to twerk for Salt Bay, you gotta let her twerk for Salt Bay.
Well, he's sitting there filming it on the video. He's like, Salt Bay's got his phone up and he's filming this girl twerking, and then the boyfriend just starts smashing on the door and then runs in and starts screaming at her.
Well,
so,
I just Googled Salt Bay and I had never seen him in my life, but he looks cool.
Salt Bae. The name of his restaurant's like, it's something in a different language now. No, it's not. It's not called Salt Bay. It's
you can't call it Salt
Bay. Oh, his real name. Oh,
it's his real name, Rich. It's a combination of his real name.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Salt, he's not Bay's the type of guy you'd want to punch in the face, though. Not at all.
Well, he seems to have this pose where he cocks his hand and allows his wrist to limp, and that's when he throws the salt.
Yeah, he sprinkles it. That's him sprinkling that picture. Him sprinkling the salt.
That's the Salt Bay.
He was nominated for a Shorty Award for Best in Food. Mm. So he had that.
Yeah, in just over a week, the city's licensing board, like, shut him down because he had, and I guess his alcoholic beverage license was also indefinitely suspended. That's a big deal because they, quote, suspended due to the existing and imminent threat to public health and public safety resulting from the ongoing and repeated failure to adhere to COVID-19 public safety standards. I guess they just apparently weren't doing next to anything, and it was all jammed, and there was a line down the street. Everyone wants to meet the Salt Bay.
Well, that just shows that we are all headed towards an apocalypse.
Yeah.
That we are all, there is going to be a civil war, ladies and gentlemen. Because Salt Bay has been closed down. All right, ladies and gentlemen, everyone enjoy the day. We will be back tomorrow, and we will have so much, so much to say. Free Salt Bay. That'll do it for us. Bye.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's HUB. Member FDIC.